I'd like to take up a subject that Dadi Janki had taken up with us some months ago in a European teacher's retreat. And I found it so enormously valuable for myself to be able to understand things in a different light. And the interesting part in terms of the Hindi word, and so I'll continue to use the Hindi word a little bit, rug, the threads. And so in a context that Baba's talking about, to be able to break all the subtle threads that hold us and tie us down to the physical, the material, the old, to be able to, first of all, even see those subtle things, and then to be able to break them. And why the subject had come up is because Daddy had asked us the question, are you experiencing as much transformation as you would like to? You can imagine that for most of us, our aims are very high and we would love to have fast progress to be able to say to Baba, yes, I'm going to become Karmatit by the 31st of December. But yet the reality is that we know that usually our speed isn't as fast as we would like it to be. And so the question was coming to Daddy that, well, we're doing tapasya, we're doing yoga, and yet how come the yoga isn't bringing the results that we would like it to bring? Because yoga, tapasya, obviously, then there's going to be that transformation and the change in sanskars. And she said that, well, yoga to be of that quality that actually does bring about deep, deep transformation has to be literally like a fire. And how often is it that you actually experience the fire of yoga, the tapasya? Or is it sometimes that you go to Baba's room or you're meditating wherever it is you are, and instead of the experience of fire, rather it's like smoke coming out of trying to light the fire? You know what happens when you try to light a fire and it's not happening? It's your smoke, and then it's getting into your eyes and it's giving you a headache. And so when is yoga more giving you a headache because you're trying to have yoga but not quite making it, or there's other things pulling very strongly? And how often is it that really it's that fire that's purifying the soul and burning away the things of the past and actually bringing about the transformation that's needed? And so for, again, I'll speak in very general terms. Generally, the situation is that there just hasn't been enough attention on having such quality yoga to actually make that happen. And so then there was a question, but how come there isn't that intense fire of yoga? Because for most of us, we know the theory of yoga pretty well, and we teach it pretty well too. But what's happened in terms of the practice and the actual experience? Again, something missing. And her connection with that was the fact that there hasn't been sufficient renunciation. And whilst there's still things that we're hanging on to, then it's not easy to have that stage of tapasya because all these other things keep interfering. And so to be able to examine what is it that I haven't let go of, and again then she made another connection between that stage of renunciation and the stage of virag, disinterest. So what is it that I haven't been able to actually break in terms of all those threads that hold me down. And I think for most of us, it was not something that we had done to trace back the connection of tapasya with renunciation, and certainly the connection of renunciation with disinterest. And so this is why I thought, because it was something that was such an eye-opener for teachers who've been with Baba for some a few years, but many for several years. It was a new way of looking at things that I thought would be very useful for all of us to look at again tonight. And the other thing that came up also was the fact that sometimes we think that we've had very good yoga, and yet there seems to be a discrepancy between saying, oh, I'm having wonderful yoga, and then what's quite visible is that there isn't even some basic observance of Srimad. And so here's Baba giving us all the detail of instructions of what it is we have to do to reach our highest destination. And Baba's telling us this for our benefit. There's nothing that Baba's going to gain by explaining to us what Srimad is. How's it going to help Baba? But why Baba's explaining all the laws with such love? And that's the thing, that it's not once, it's not twice, it's for 33 years in Sakar, and now 30 years in Avyakt that Baba's been teaching, and you know what's happening. And yet here's still Baba continuing to have such love for us that Baba's not getting tired, and Baba's having to repeat things that are really quite basic that we should know about, and not just know about, but we should actually be practicing in our life. And from time to time, Avyakt Baba actually says this to us, but I've told you already. You know, how much more do you need to be told? But having said that, yet again still, with love, Baba will carry on. And it reminds me that when we were here in Madhuban for the Avyakt meeting with Shiv Baba on the 21st of January 1969, and Baba had very specifically said that it's Shiv Baba who's come to meet you, because 18th January Baba flies off to the Sakha region, and then everything that's happening, Dadi Gulzar is going up in trance to Shiv Baba, so that absolutely every single step of everything that happened was direct connection with Shiv Baba giving instructions for whatever was happening, taking direct charge. And then of course Baba coming and saying that Brahma Baba hasn't come with me to meet you all. If he were to come now, there would be just an ocean of tears and you wouldn't let him go. And so he's sitting in the subtle region and I'm here with you now. So Shiv Baba came, and Shiv Baba spoke humorally like the commander-in-chief of the army, which he is, but literally very, very clear, straight, direct instructions, and also an analysis of what was going on at that point. Baba said, you know, how come you're not experiencing an ocean of peace, but you're all in an ocean of upheaval? So Baba wasn't being softened, okay, never mind, okay, children, you know. If he'd been like that, there'd have been more tears. But Baba sort of shook us by the neck and said, you know, stand up. What's going on? And Baba straightened out all the wrinkles and things that were happening, and this is the way to go, and this is what has to happen. But the thing that Baba explained at that time was that the 18 chapters of the knowledge of the Gita have been given to you already. But Baba is going to continue to come to meet you, to show you his love, to give you his company, to entertain you, we'll use that word, to entertain you, to support you, and to help you. All the knowledge has been given, but yes, you still need that support, and so Baba's going to continue to give you that support. And so the Avyek Muralis are that expression of love, of entertainment and support, and you see that being demonstrated every time that Baba comes. It's all of these things that Baba shares. But yet the information has been given, and it's then a question of, well, how come we are not actually practicing all these things? And so I think it's really, really seriously time to explore and examine what's going on with myself personally, to see, well, what is it that's still there that's not allowing me to even experience that tapasya in the way that I would like. And so the point that sometimes we think that there's yoga, but yet there isn't that transformation happening. And so it must be something that's not quite working in the yoga that should happen. And so whether it's basic srimat or whether it's subtle transformation, both of these things very much connected with the quality of our yoga. And why should it be that others can see things in us that we're not able to see within ourselves? That's, in a sense, the biggest shock, that there are still sometimes things that Brahmins are not able to see in themselves, and yet others can see it, and maybe out of love they don't say anything, or maybe out of love they do say something, but we're not ready to acknowledge it. Both things happen. Sometimes out of love, sometimes people say things to us and it's a shock to the intellect and we refuse to take it on board. Or sometimes out of love they don't say anything to us and so we carry on in that ignorance and innocence. But surely, as a Brahmin, what I've understood is that I am my own best friend, but equally I am my own worst enemy. And so I should be able to spend time with myself in silence, really seeing what is the mirror that Baba's holding up for me through every single murli, whether the sarkar or the avyak or the blessings and the slogans, and what is it that I'm actually doing still at this point of time. And the other thing is that it's not a question of what's going to happen on the 31st of December and whether it's 20 digits or whether the computers work or they don't work. That's become like a sort of excuse for Lokik people just to look around and see what's going on. But there's really no question about the factor of time and the imminence of the chaos that's happening in the world just getting worse and worse, to the point where truly I as an individual don't know the conditions I'm going to find myself in tomorrow. Now, the question of the end of the kalpa is whenever it'll happen, and Baba's told us that we mustn't be date conscious, but rather must be soul conscious, and that's a fact. And it's also true that people who get hooked into the question of dates and things and prophecies, I don't see them making any more intense effort than if they didn't, you know. So it doesn't seem to be useful. But the other reality is that I truly don't know in what way effort is going to be possible for me tomorrow. Today, I have all my faculties, I have my health to whatever extent I have it, I have the time, I have the space. Now, what are the circumstances going to be round the corner? No one can tell me. I don't know. I remember a person telling me at one point,
they had quite a responsible job. And yet, within their job, they still had space in which to do things for Baba. And their complaint was, when is Baba going to liberate me from my Lokik job? And then there came a situation in which they lost that job. And soon after that. And they found that they were really unable to handle the space and the freedom of no structure in their timetable. And the amount of service they were doing for Baba previously was actually a lot more than the service that they were doing for Baba later on. And so, given whatever circumstances I find myself in, to be able to make good use of my time and energy within that, I think that's what Brahman life is about. And so, at this moment, let me use the space that Baba's given me, the drama has given me, to do whatever it is I can in the best way possible, using the treasures that Baba has given me and has given me the wisdom to be aware of what those treasures are. Like, for example, people just don't know that time is such a powerful treasure. People don't know that our thoughts are a powerful treasure. People don't know that the gifts of wisdom and the qualities that God has given are our powerful treasures. And so just to be aware of how much Baba has given already and to continue to use that in the most productive way, I think that that's what Gyan is about. And that's what being smart in Gyan is about also. And so to see what I have and make the best use of all that I have at this moment. And to be able to then really see what is it that's still tying me down? And two things that tie me down to the past. And today, if you're looking at the subject of Virag, you can actually make a long, long list of all the things that Baba has described at various points that we have to be able to cut. But specifically, to cut these two threads, again, these were within the subject of Virag, two factors that very deeply came to my attention. And that is my own past and my own past sanskaras. And they're very real in terms of how we hang on to those things. For example, there's a person who I've had a lot of interaction with recently, and I'll tell you a story, and you can see how it fits within your own situation. And she's gone through quite a bit of upheaval and change in recent times, and lots of opportunities, but still unable to see the benefit in those opportunities. And her comment was that because of the experience of my past, it's very difficult for me to follow the path of simplicity and renunciation today. And it had been a life of comfort, it had been a life of facilities, it had been a life in which on a material level, everything was there, available for her. And so today, life in a center, or even life at home, but yet following a Brahmin lifestyle with discipline, seemed to her to be very, very difficult. And because she kept putting her past in such a rosy light, it was difficult for her to see the advantages of what it is Baba was offering her at the present moment. And so we tried and tried explaining, but difficult. And so then at one point she said to me, I need to go away. and I'm not sure when I'm going to come back. And definitely it's going to be for a few months. Of course, fine, you know, do what you think you need to do. And 2 weeks later, I get a phone call and she's back. And I'm very surprised. And I say, how come you're back so soon? And she says, well, can I come and tell you the story? Well, from the style of the story, you picked up what happened. But she came back and her story was that she'd gone to stay with a Lokic friend. And in that particular situation, she'd seen what Lokic life was really like. And she'd been so separate from Lokic life that she'd put into such a rosy picture the things of the past that she was only seeing the comfort, the facilities, and, you know, things that were nice. And now she was back with a Lokic friend, seeing her Lokic situation. And she said, I thanked God for having liberated me. And she came running back. And her comment was, oh, you must have thought I'm such an idiot. I hadn't used that word either in words or in my mind. But definitely I'd felt very sorry for her at one point, thinking that, you know, here's the door open for fortune, and how come she's not understanding what fortune is possible? And she's hanging on to that. And going back and having a taste of that again was the best thing that could have ever happened to her. And she realized the bondage, she realized the limits, she realized the pain, and there she was back with Baba. And able to put the past things into perspective, and the realization that in fact, that's why I originally came back to Baba, why originally I had come to Baba. And she then began to think about something else, how in the days of her own childhood in Gyan, would it have been very special for her, and she hadn't had Brahman company, she'd been isolated, but what had been very special for her had been her love for study. And she kept herself occupied by engaging her intellect in study of Murali, study of classes. She then remembered how thirsty she had been for Gyan and how that had meant just easy, natural yoga. And so then what had happened later on, she was then able to analyze it and see her own story. She'd allowed a lot of distractions to come, a lot of waste thoughts to come, the love for study and that deep interest in study hadn't been there. And so then the picture of the past coming back is an attraction. And so the lessons to be learned out of all of that, the past is Kali Yuga. No matter how good or how sweet or how comfortable it was, the reality is that it is Kali Yuga and its bondage, its karmic accounts. And so today, if I want to be free, anything of the past that I'm hanging on to or comparing what Baba is giving me, it's just going to keep me further in bondage. I'm not going to be able to move towards freedom. And the second lesson, where Baba is saying waste thoughts, and the other day Avyakt Baba doesn't hide anything. Avyakt Baba gives us a huge amount of love, and with a great deal of sweetness and kindness and mercy, Baba gives us a very clear picture of what it is that's going on for us. And really, if we want to see where we're at, there you go, look at what Baba's saying. And you can get a very clear picture. You don't need to ask any teacher. You don't need to ask anybody else. Just look at that. And so here's Baba saying that the waste thoughts and the condition that is still there in Brahmins is not as Baba would want, not even as what we would want. And so, Vairag, the threads that hold me to the past, also disinterest. Both the words are very interesting. The disinterest as well as the Vairag. So, where does my interest lie? What is my intellect fascinated by? Are there still the things from the past that capture my attention? Or truly have I realized that basic 7 days course, it's Kali Yuga, and there is nothing of interest out there that can give me any benefit whatsoever. I think we need to create within ourselves that real, real deep feeling of disinterest. And if it comes within me, there's really nothing that can pull me away from Baba. It doesn't happen because somebody else is telling me this, but again, my own days of childhood in Gyan, the interest for Baba's love, the interest for study, for the discovery of Baba's depth of Gyan was so powerful that renunciation was very easy. Didn't even think it was renunciation. Just saw the fortune of how much Baba is giving. And so I know that all of us made that transition from Shudra to Brahman because of that. And then somehow along the line, other things distract us, including service. Service is the fastest method to move to your karmatit stage. Agree? The fastest method to move to your karmatit stage is service because of two things. It gives you the opportunity to do lots and lots of good karma. It gives you the opportunity to see your own sanskaras. Without making yourself available for service, you don't know what your sanskaras are. You really don't. And nobody can convince me that they do. You just don't. It's only through your interaction with 1, 5, 10, 100 others that you discover your own samskaras. And of course that's also then why it becomes a big distraction. But if you take it as an opportunity to learn, then it's fortune. If you get trapped by seeing the samskaras of others and you don't then have the courage or the power to deal with your own samskaras, then it becomes the distraction that really takes you far away from why it is you came to Baba. So service can be a double-edged sword. It can work on both levels. And it's up to me to see which way I'm using the sword and take benefit and take advantage. So just to see, well, what is it that's holding me? So one is where I paint a very rosy picture of the past, and that becomes the obstacle that doesn't allow me to move on to renunciation and then tapasya. And the factor is that whilst I still stay surrounded by those comforts and supports and facilities, I never actually know what it's going to be like without them. Can I actually manage without? And I'm talking about physical things, but I'm also talking about emotional things. In the past, I had love from Lokic friends, Lokic family.
I had a good job, I had prestige, I had position, I had praise. Now, maybe drama's going to pull the rug from under my carpet, and maybe I'm going to find myself in a position where I'm stripped of all of that. But maybe not. Maybe all that's going to carry on. And so again, the question of my being able to check inside and see, to what extent am I dependent on all of this? And what would it be like if none of this was around? The second aspect of the past, the other side of the picture, where there are things of the past that are not very pleasant. And equally, I found how people hook onto that and don't realize what Baba's talking about in a real practical way, in which Baba's saying that this is your new birth. And to really believe that, and to know that this is now my parent, my mother, my father, and to take all the things that Baba is now giving me, I think I'm speaking for the world and not just the Western world. In the Western world, the curtain of silence has been broken over the last 15 years, 10 years, and so there are now big adverts on the roads in London that tell you about the sort of abuse that's going on with children. Emotional abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse. As I say, big poster campaigns from time to time. And the important thing is to actually break that conspiracy of silence so that it comes out into the open. In the East, it's still under wraps. And then from time to time, something breaks it and it comes out. I've been traveling a lot, and so I've been reading newspapers. And I happened to pass through Dubai, and I think the first time ever in my life I read the Gulf News and the Khalid Times to Arab newspapers. And if the East is a cloak of secrecy about misdeeds of family, the Arab world is probably double secrecy of what goes on in family. I get that sense. I don't know a lot about the Arab world, but both these papers that I happened to read one day one and the next day the next carried stories of this crazy situation in Lahore in Pakistan, and it was abuse of young boys and the killing. It was a serial killer and just crazy stuff. So my point that definitely it's not just a Western story. People in the East tend to say, oh, you know, these things don't happen here, these things. In the Cape Town Parliament, lots of experiences, of course, and they'll keep popping up, I'm sure. But Pragalakshmi Govinder, some of you know her. She's been to Madhuban 3 times, met Baba. She's an MP and was one of the feminist leaders who started the whole women's coalition during the apartheid days to be able to create the new constitution for the independent government. So that's her background. And so she was doing a presentation in the parliament, and it was about women and spirituality and political rights, and she was taking up that whole theme of how every single religion has been a patriarchal system, which it has. And she also created a platform where BKs could share quite a bit within that particular group, and it was very powerful individuals in that group, so it was a great platform for BKs. But somebody came in halfway through, and it happened to be the leader of the Arya Samaj in, I think it must be the whole of South Africa, because certainly he was from Durban, but now he was in Cape Town, so I think he represented the South Africa Arya Samaj. And what he said was, and he knew Pragalakshmi from her days of childhood, and so sort of felt very open and free with her, so he was talking to her like a sort of father figure. And he was saying, but you know, these things about women's rights, these things don't apply here. They apply to Christianity, they don't apply to Hinduism. And I looked at him with eyes wide open. And if I had been the Janthi of 15 years ago, I'd have jumped up and said a dozen things. And thankfully, Drama and Baba have cooled me down. So I had the patience to just make a funny face, but continue to sit there and hold my peace. And Pragalakshmi was very diplomatic and very calm and handled it very well and told him that not quite that story. So, you know, sometimes there's still such an illusion about what's going on as the reality in terms of Lokic things. So, long story, and I didn't mean to tell you, but just the background that there's a lot of denial about what actually happens. And yet, of course, in Brahmin life, all the wraps of secrecy get pulled away, and people have a tremendous openness when they come to Baba's house. And I think it's because they know that it's a safe environment, they know that they've come to the source of truth, and so within a short space of time, sometimes a few days, sometimes there are very deep scars that take 10 years before people are ready to speak of them. But the thing is that they then talk about the abuse from the past that's holding them in bondage. They're not able to take Baba's love. They're not able to accept the gifts that God is giving today because their mind is hooked on the past in terms of the negative things of the past. Or they'll actually say, why I'm not able to transform is because of this thing that happened. I'm not able to have self-esteem because this happened. And the soul forgets that Baba's offering a new life, a new birth. When Baba was talking about the Dadis the other day and their renunciation, the power of their renunciation came instantly. They didn't have time, you know. If they, the ones who faltered, they got stuck in bondage forever and ever and ever. They lost all fortune. Today it's drama's not as severe. We're given a lot of space and time to think and make our choices. At that time, you chose and you ran to Baba, or you faltered and you were slapped into bondage, literally, physically, and you lost your opportunity. And, you know, that's the story. And so those who are the Dadis today, or those who are the founders of the Yajna, their renunciation came through instant faith. And that instant faith, this is Baba, this is my father, and they were ready to die a living death and have a rebirth. And so their rebirth and their birth was as God's children, as the Shaktis. And so never mind being the sheep who had no education, or the little lambs who were being led to the slaughterhouse. All that was just instantly gone, and they had a new power that other people just couldn't understand where it had come from. And today, if I'm hanging on to
to the negative things of the past, you know, they could have said, but I don't have an education. I don't know what the outside world is like. I don't have a career. I don't know how I'm going to earn my living. You know, I've never been given equality. If you think about the sort of excuses that people give today, whether it's in terms of health or education or color of skin, or after becoming Brahmins, people still say that their lack of self-esteem is because of the color of their skin, whether it's black or white or green or brown or whatever. You know, and the soul's forgotten. Baba's not seeing anything else. Baba's just seeing the eternal child. And so let me be the eternal child, and let me let go of whatever things I'm hanging on to. And so, as I say, when Daddy told us Vairag from the past, I mean, she didn't get into all this detail, but just every single thing over the last few months has made me see so clearly that that's a major, major factor to identify and break all those threads. Then the second thing that she told us about, and again, it's, you've heard it, but the way she presented it and the way that I've been just seeing it work, and that is how we hang on to our past sanskaras and we justify them, and they're our comfort zone. We feel comfortable with them, and so again, we're not ready to relinquish them and say, really, this isn't what I want for myself. This isn't what Baba wants for me. I don't know how many times you've ever used this as an excuse, but certainly you must have heard other people use it as an excuse. If I'm angry, if I have a loud voice, if I talk too much, I'm too extrovert, I say, but that's how I am. This is my nature. Have you heard people say that? And just examine what I'm saying, if that's what I'm saying. If I'm saying that, but that's my nature, I'm accepting it, and I'm saying, well, that's how I'm going to be till the end of the kalpa. Right? If I'm saying this is how I am, fine. But I'm also saying, now that's how I'm going to be till the end of the kalpa. Question: is this how I want to be at the end of the kalpa? And if yes, well, that's fine. This is why Baba says, Baba offers everyone all opportunity, and each soul decides for itself the fortune that it chooses to take from God. And so, my choice, Baba's offering me perfection, and I'm saying, well, I'm not really interested in perfection. I'm going to hang on to these sanskaras of mine, and I'll be comfortable with this. And then what can Baba say? This is where then Baba has to say, well, drama. That child's fortune. That's destiny. Here's God showing the highest destination, and yet the soul is creating and accepting a different destiny for itself. And if I'm saying, no, I don't want these sanskaras till the end of the kalpa, then how can I say, well, that's how I am, and so that's how I'm going to stay? If I want perfection, then okay, this is how I was in Kali Yuga, but this is not how Baba's expecting me to be in Sangam Yuga. And if I understand that today, and I accept the help that Baba's willing to give me today, and I start the transformation process today, it's going to keep moving. And that's a reality. Whatever effort I want to make, if I'm unwilling to make that effort from this moment on, postpone it and it's never going to happen. It's never going to come. So, some sanskars we recognize as being not right. The other aspect of the comfort zone is that there are certain sanskars that, again, we feel comfortable with because we say that, well, that's not wrong, it's okay. For example, if somebody is very extrovert, then, I mean, they have enough gyan to know that that's not what a yogi style is about, and so that's not as Baba wants. But sometimes where people are maybe very quiet, then they don't always know that that's also not what Baba wants. In the sense that Baba's not wanting me to be isolated. Baba's not wanting me to not interact with the family. The state of perfection that the dadis demonstrate, you can see that there is solitude, love for solitude, but yet also a great love for the family. And so in Brahman life, where there's that imbalance, then the soul doesn't realize that the inner solitude is important, but equally the relationship with the family is vital. Otherwise, my connection with incorporeal God at some point of time is going to leave me feeling very dry and empty, and I'm not going to be able to have the support of the family around me. And of course then I say, but nobody's helping me. But I didn't create the conditions to be able to receive help, to keep the door of help open. And so of course then I feel lonely and isolated, and it's difficult to continue. And I say, but Baba doesn't want us to be sannyasis. You can see how justification of my own old sanskar is something that then cuts me away from Baba and the nurture that Baba and the family offers me today. And so the thing about past sanskars is that let me be able to see, even if it's a good sanskar, or I think it's a good sanskar, and it might not be. And so to see whether it tallies with the picture that the dadis are presenting, but also, okay, maybe it is a good sanskar, but is it filled with divinity? Has it been transformed and purified and cleansed? You've heard the story of how there was this person who was very loving and sweet, and yet Mama's comment about that, this is the early days of the yajna, and Mama's comment about that is that, well, it's like a honey pot with a lid open that's just simply attracting all the flies, and so everyone's clinging to that soul, and so it's just causing bondages and attachments. And so yes, Baba's saying, let there be love, but Baba's also saying, let there be purity within the love, let there be detachment within the love. Or where there's a soul who by nature prefers solitude, yet not to run away from the family, because what the family is offering is support and cooperation and the ability to do service. If there's only solitude and love for solitude, I can't do service. Service is only possible through the connection with the family and being part of the gathering. And so let me see very clearly whether I've been able to transform and purify the sanskars of the past. And yes, to like my own company is something that Baba emphasizes. The soul is its own best friend, so of course it's going to like its own company. But yet, within that, to be able to receive so much love from Baba that I can share that love with others. So I enjoy being with others, not that I'm allergic to that and have a problem with people. So that's the thing, the past and the past sanskaras. You can see how for most of us, we haven't really explored what it is that ties us down to the past. And so as a result of that, all sorts of waste thoughts, waste energy. And so let me deal with that. Then I'll be able to let go, the tyag, the renunciation, and then the soul is free enough to be able to do tapasya. You need to prepare yourself to experience that fire of yoga. Otherwise, without that preparation, there just isn't that experience of fire. So, those were the recent thoughts on that particular topic. Om Shanti.